We're going to study Mirtz Hashem Pachad Yitzchak for Shabbos, Maimer Gimel. And we're starting with the Pasuk in Baaloscha and the Rambam in Perek Lamed Milchus Shabbos, Perek Vav Milchus Yontif. And the question is, we know that Shabbos, the mitzvah is Oneg. We know that Yontif, the mitzvah is Simcha. And yet, Chazal, on the Pasuk, B'yom Simchaschem, Uvumoadechem, Uvrashechot Shechem, Utkatem, Bechatzotros, Alolosechem, Vialzivche, Shalmechem, the Sifri, Ubiyom Simchaschem, Elu Hashabosos. We see that there's a concept of describing the Yom HaShabbos as a Yom of Simcha, despite the fact that we know, and it's Paskin in the Rambam as well, that Shabbos is a mitzvah of Oneg. The mitzvah of Simcha is singularly reserved for Yontif. It doesn't apply to Shabbos. And we have to assume, therefore, that when the Sifri interprets B'yom Simchaschem as a description of Shabbos, it doesn't mean that the essence of Shabbos or the mitzvah Hayom is Simcha. That we know is not the case, but what the Sifri rather means is what we call a kinui. A kinui means a descriptive term, almost like a nickname. The Shabbos has some dimension of experiencing Simcha, but that's not essential to the day itself. And what we want to understand is, why would you find in the Torah a description of Shabbos as a Yom Simcha, when fundamentally it is Yontif that is related to Simcha, not Shabbos? And furthermore, if we describe Shabbos as Yom Simcha, why do we find that description in context of Tkiyah B'Chatzotros? Tkiyah B'Chatzotros is when they went out to war, they blew the trumpets at an Eis Tzara. It's a kind of a Tefillah B'Eis Tzara. Why would that Tefillah B'Eis Tzara be the place in which the Torah would describe Shabbos as a Yom Simcha? And in general, what we want to understand is the difference between Usmachta v'samachta b'chagecha of Yontif and Yom Simchaschem with regard to Shabbos. The Pasuk at the beginning of Bereishis describes Shabbos as Vayikadesh Oso, and Hashem sanctified the Shabbos. Rashi says in his Pirush al Torah, then what does it mean, Vayikadesh Oso? Again, Bereishis Beis, Pasuk Gimel. Says Rashi, based on the Medrash, Shekidsho B'man. What does it mean that Hashem sanctified Shabbos with man? Shelo Yorad HaMan B'Shabbos. That although the man fell on the weekdays, it ceased, it terminated on Shabbos. There was no Nefilas Man on Shabbos. That's the Kiddush of Vayikadesh Oso. And the Ramban in his Perush al Torah argues against Rashi by raising the objection, the obvious objection, well, why would the Torah describe at the beginning of creation the Kedusha Shabbos in terms of some event that's going to happen way down the line? Ein b'mashma kosev l'idabi b'asidos, says the Ramban, it's not usual that the Torah would talk about something in the future. And before we see the Ramban's own interpretation of Vayikadesh Oso, we want to point out that the Maharal Prague, in his Gur Aryeh, which is the super commentary on Rashi al Torah, defends Rashi against the Ramban's argument by saying that for sure Rashi has no intention of saying that the Pasuk is talking about Asidos, about something that's going to take place way down in the future. The Kedusha Shabbos and the fact that Hashem impacted on the seventh day and sanctified it is something that happened immediately, Vayikadesh Oso. It's not something that was suspended until the time of the 40 years in the Midbar. But rather what Rashi has in mind is that the fact that the man terminated, that itself is a proof on the Kiddush. Now, it's not that the Kiddush took place simultaneously with the Minyas Haman, with the cessation of Man, but rather the cessation of Man on Shabbos is a demonstration, it's a proof that Hashem was Mekadesh the Shabbos. In other words, it's a phenomenon or an expression of Kedusha Shabbos. The Kedusha Shabbos began, was initiated and emerged from the first seven, from the first day seven of creation. But if you want to see a manifestation of that Kedusha Shabbos, a demonstration thereof, you'll see it in the Parsha of Man, with the fact that the man didn't fall on Shabbos. And the obvious question on the Maharal, I mean, he doesn't develop this issue, is why does Vayikadosh also need any sort of a proof? Why do we have to demonstrate it? The Pasuk says that Hashem sanctified the Shabbos. Does it need some sort of certification? What does it mean? Now the Ramban understands that Vayikadosh also is a reference to the Neshama Yisera. Now when we get to concepts like Neshama Yisera, we have to admit, we have to confess up front that our ability to grasp these kinds of very lofty mystical concepts is limited. But nevertheless, we'll try to embellish or get at least a bit of an insight into what the Ramban means by Kedusha Shabbos identified with the Neshama Yisera. The Pachad Yitzchok in many places points out that sometimes you have a word that can be used both for Kodesh and for Chol, for something sanctified and something for that's mundane. And very often, since the same word is used for both, we derive misnomers, you know, mistaken conclusions by confusing the two meanings, and they are very fundamentally different one from the other. And he says the following, that as one point of an example, and it's a very important point that's relevant to our discussion today, is the concept of schar. The word schar, which in Lashon Kodesh has three letters to it. It's a very short word, and it's translated loosely as reward, but it also refers to payment. And the word schar in the mundane secular world means a kind of a payment. For example, if you have a worker who's in your employment, so as his employee, as his employer, you pay your employee, and that's schar. The word in Hebrew in Lashon Kodesh would be schar. The same matbea, the same phrase, is used in an entirely different context, a pure holy context, and that's called schar mitzvah. For example, a work, as we said before, receives schar, and that word schar for his pu'ula, for his work, is an appropriate word. A person who implements a mitzvah act receives, again, schar. Here it means reward, but it's the same word called schar mitzvos. And we have a tendency of equating the two, and we come to mistaken concepts and perceptions based on the fact that there's no special word for schar mitzvah. You know, really, if we were writing a dictionary and creating language, we would probably try to find a different word for schar mitzvah instead of the word schar, so we don't confuse it in our mind. And just to illuminate and illustrate the difference between schar in the secular world and schar in the world of Kedusha, of sanctity, we would say the following, that with regard to secular mundane schar, the schar itself does not relate to any particular object or entity. In effect, you can give any kind of a reward or payment with any sort of object. I mean, usually, classically, if we have a worker, we pay them, we pay our workers with cash, with currency, with a check, whatever it might be. But in theory, there's no relationship between the object that you give as payment and the payment itself. So therefore, the concept of schar with regard to the secular world is simply meant to point in the direction of giving and taking, a giver and a receiver. The recipient receives that schar for his pu'ula, and the idea is that whatever schar you decide to single out and transfer over, he receives that schar. So again, just to summarize, what we're saying is The object and its essence has no relationship to the schar. It was more or less coincidental. It was accidental that that object was designated as the schar. However, when we come to schar of kedusha, the schar of the world of reward for good acts that a person implements, then we're talking about a whole different relationship. Therefore, in regard to schar, when we talk about kiyum mitzvah, the word means something different. It means that the schar as an entity is essentially related to the mitzvah. And I'll read to you the language here of the Pachad Yitzchak. He says, Mahut ha-cheftza, I think the essence of the entity, ha-nitenes b'tarscha, which is being given to the recipient, to the person who did the schar for kiyum mitzvah. He says, ha-cheftza ha-nitenes, mahus ha-cheftza ha-nitenes b'toras schar, yesh la kiyum li-atzma, b'li toras ha-schar sheva. And what he's talking about is rewarding or paying someone for, and again, just to give you one example, for the work they did, that reward, whatever that heftza is, essentially it exists on its own, independent of the fact that it was designated as schar. You know, you wouldn't say that this $10 bill is worth, and it, you know, can be evaluated as $10 worth because it was designated to pay someone. The relationship between the object and the recipient in the case of schar chol, right, schar pu'ula, is totally coincidental. And we draw the conclusion, so simply because we use the same word and the same terminology in the case of schar mitzvah, that, you know, in our mind we have a vision, a picture, that it's really the same kind of thing, and the schar mitzvah is also, you know, some sort of pleasure that exists on its own, independent, and, you know, let's just direct it towards the osa ha-mitzvah, towards the makayim ha-mitzvah. But no, that's not true. That's a misnomer. In truth, when we get to schar mitzvah, we talk about idunim and inugim, you know, various types of oneg, you know, we use words like idunim, which indicate that the schar mitzvah belongs to a spiritual world. It's very refined. He calls it nifla. It's something absolutely wondrous. Those kinds of inugim and idunim, which are granted to an osa ha-mitzvah, a schar mitzvah, they exist not as independent objects, you know, out in the universe, but rather the existence of these idunim and inugim as schar mitzvah means they only exist as schar mitzvah. Those idunim and inugim, those pleasures, so to speak, again using a bad word because we're talking about something that belongs to a spiritual divine world, they are in their very essence a schar mitzvah. It's not like you have a chefza that's valuable and it exists in and of itself independently, and now let's just direct it towards schar. You know, that's true in the secular world, but, you know, when you're paying someone, but when we're talking about a reward for a mitzvah, schar mitzvah, we're talking about something that exists only as schar mitzvah. It has no, you know, independent existence unto itself. Schar mitzvah is not just that we, you know, we take something and we direct it towards the makavel and say, here, receive this as reward. Schar mitzvah is a creation unto itself. It's a brand new creation. It's an entity that only exists, and its very essence is schar mitzvah. It's very mahus. It's very essence. The inugim and the idunim, they have no kiyum, no existence outside of the Torah schar. In other words, they're only meaningful, and they only exist if, insofar as they are directed for schar. And it's not like, you know, let's take something, we'll call it X, in this case, inugim and idunim, and we'll give it to a recipient. You know, we'll take it and give it to a recipient. No, that's not what it is. If you were to remove the designation of these entities called Inugim and Idunim from Schar, they would lose their very existence. It's not just that they exist independently and you direct them and give them to the recipient as Schar for his mitzvah. They only exist because as a creation, they emerge as an existing entity only insofar as they are directed towards the Osa mitzvah and as they are schar, they function as schar mitzvah. So when we get to schar in the chol, in the world of secular mundane activities, we're talking about how does a person receive that schar. When we talk about schar in the world of kodesh, and we're talking about a unique creation, then we're talking about the reality of worlds, of worlds of ayin and yesh, where the yesh comes out of ayin, where something comes out of nothing. And when we talk about the 6 days of creation, which are the sheshes yimei breishis, and existing things are generated by, or I should say, from nothing, what we call ex nihilo. Every single day has its own creation of yesh me'ayin. And what is the creation of Shabbos? What emerges on Shabbos? And the answer to that is that schar mitzvah doesn't fall into the categories, the objects that are created during the sheish yimei abreishis, because those are entities that exist independent. But he says, "Schar mitzvah u'mitzius miyucheres li'atzma, bal karcha shetehela yitzira miyucheres li'atzma." Since we're saying that the creation of schar mitzvah is a unique creation, it has to have a unique process of creation. During the 6 days of creation, we don't find any yitzira whatsoever that could be called schar mitzvah. But the answer is that the essential essence and the unique essence, which is schar mitzvah, was not created at all during the 6 days of Bereishis. It only emerged on the seventh day. And that unique creation of schar mitzvah is expressed by the Torah in the words Vayikadesh Oso. What is the kiddush of the seventh day? It's this unique bria, this unique creation of the Nugim and the Idunim that have no other reality, no other existence other than Schar Mitzvah. That's what their essence is all about. So that the creation of all the worlds that took place during the 6 days of creation, that all belongs to Schar in the Iskei Chol, in the area, the dimension of mundane material existence. However, when we talk about the creation that came into being on Shabbos under the pasuk Vayikadesh Oso, that's an entirely new entity, something that couldn't have emerged into existence during the days of creating entities that have, as we said before, each and every one of them its own independent personality, its own essential entity, and therefore, when we talk about chol, and we start categorizing different pleasures that one could have, tanugim of chol, we can divide and classify those tanugim, those secular mundane tanugim, based on which sense perception enjoys those tanugim. And you can talk about, you know, the beautiful sounds that one could hear with his ears. You can talk about the beautiful sights that one could perceive with his eyes. In a similar parallel sort of way, the Inugim and the Idunim of Schar Mitzvah, they too relate to a certain sense perception. In other words, the one who implements a mitzvah, how does he receive that unique entity called Schar Mitzvah, which belongs to
you know, a much more abstract world that doesn't belong to the concrete material world of the Sheishis V'Amasa. He too, just like during the Sheishis V'Amasa, man as a recipient, for example, is created with the power of hearing in order to be collate, in order to receive the beautiful tanugim of sound. So too he was born with the power of sight to receive the beautiful pleasures of sight. What is the receptive organ, so to speak? How do we describe it or name it? A receptive organ that receives the inugim and the idunim of Schar Mitzvah that belongs to this abstract world of the seventh day of creation, of Shabbos, of Yikadish Oso. And that's called Neshama Yisera. Man is endowed on Shabbos with a different Neshama, a Neshama Yisera, an extra double Neshama. And what is the nature of that Neshama Yisera? And what's its goal and its function? The answer is that even though the existence of the Neshama itself took place with the creation of man on the sixth day, man was created with a Neshama. So the revelation, so to speak, of the entity called the Neshama took place on the sixth day of creation. And that's what the Torah describes, the creation of man, Vayhi, Ha'adam, L'nefesh Chaya, etc., etc. But the ability, that sense of klitas tainug shel schar mitzvah, the ability to receive a schar mitzvah, that did not come into existence until the seventh day. Because during the 6 days, there is no creation called schar mitzvah. It only emerges on the seventh day. And man's propensity, his ability to receive the schar mitzvah came into existence simultaneously with the creation of the entity called Schar Mitzvah. And in the first 6 days of creation, as we said before, those were physical material creations of entities, independent existing entities. That's not Schar Mitzvah. So this kind of Tainug, which is called an Idun of Schar Mitzvah, that comes from Ayin into Yesh, that can only be created and received as an entity on the seventh day on Shabbos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayikadosh also created the Neshama Yisera. And with the creation of the Neshama Yisera comes the creation of these Tanugim, these Idunim of Schar Mitzvah. And that's the unique nature, according to the Ramban, of Vayikadosh also of the seventh day. Now we want to take a peek at Rashi in Masechta Beitza on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Neshama Yisera, and Rashi identifies the Neshama Yisera of Shabbos with the power, the ability to eat and to drink and fulfill the mitzvah of Onig Shabbos. And it looks on a superficial level to be somewhat mechanical, and somewhat, as we said before, superficial, because what do you mean to eat and to drink? I mean, those are physical endeavors. Why would that be identified with the Neshama Yisera? And apparently there's some sort of light here that's hidden below the surface on a deeper level. And Rashi, I think, is saying that somehow the Onig Shabbos, the concept and the mitzvah of Onig Shabbos, is essentially related to Schar Mitzvah. As we said before, the Neshama Yisera is the faculty that gives man the ability to receive this new entity called Schar Mitzvah. So with Shabbos, we identify the mitzvah of Onig Shabbos as something that belongs to Schar Mitzvah. So in general, when we speak about the relationship between a mitzvah and its schar, and we can say that the mitzvah gives birth to a schar, the mitzvah is done today, the schar is left for tomorrow, meaning tomorrow of some future date. With regard to one particular mitzvah, we don't say that the mitzvah is today and the schar is tomorrow. And that's the mitzvah of Onig Shabbos. Here in the mitzvah of Onig Shabbos, the relationship goes in the reverse order. The schar of tomorrow is what gives birth to the mitzvah of today. In other words, it's not like the kiyum of other mitzvahs, which have nothing to do with neshama yisera. The kiyum of other mitzvahs belong to the sheish yisrei ha'maaseh, but with regard to Onig Shabbos as a unique category, the kiyum of the mitzvah is a result of the neshama yisera. It's the neshama yisera that gives us the possibility to fulfill and implement the mitzvah of Onig Shabbos. The mitzvah of Onig Shabbos is, in a sense, sustained by the neshama yisera. So it's tomorrow's schar, which is coming into existence through the neshama yisera, that facilitates the ability for man to fulfill and implement the mitzvah of Onig Shabbos. And that's pretty revolutionary. And this could shed a light, perhaps, on the Gemara in Sanhedrin Nun Ches, that a ben noach sheshavas is chayev misa. He's usurping our Shabbos. He's not Jewish and he's usurping our Shabbos on the seventh day of creation. And the Rambam, in Perek Yud Mehilchos Melachim Halacha Tes, when he formulates this halacha, he adds a very important point. We would have thought that there's a specific, unique Shabbos halacha, that a ben noach sheshavas chayv misa. The Rambam formulates it in a much more general sense. The very same sugya in Sanhedrin, he says that a ben noach who's mechadish das liatzmo, he creates his own religion, he is chayv misa, he is usurping our Torah. And the question is, when the Gemara speaks specifically about Shabbos, how does the Rambam formulate that in terms of Chidush Das? And what is the relationship between Chidush Das and specifically Shvisa Shabbos? But the answer is because Shvisa Shabbos is really, in essence, the creation of the entity called Schar Mitzvah. Schar Mitzvah for the entire religion is something that emerges on Shabbos. For the Ben Noach to observe Shabbos, to try to usurp the Shabbos, what basically he's taking is Chidush HaDas. He's taking the entire Das, because what Shabbos has within it is Schar Mitzvah for all mitzvahs, for all of our religion, and every dimension therein. He's grabbing away the Shabbos. He wants to get that concept. He wants to have access, so to speak, and have a tefisa. He wants to grab on to Schar Mitzvah. That's what he's doing, is he's taking the whole kit and caboodle of all of Das, of the whole religion. And we want to point out that the Pasuk in Bereishis, and the Gaon in explaining that Pasuk, is very critical at this stage. The Torah testifies about the Shabbos in Bereishis Beis, Pasuk Gimel, Kivo Shavas Mikol Malachto. And the Gaon wants to understand, in his Haderes Elio, what is the emphasis here on Kol Malachto? That Hashem was Shoves on Yom HaShvimi Kol Malachto. And the Gaon presents the following thesis. He says, from the moment of creation and on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadesh Bechol Yom Tomid Masa Bereishis. Meaning, there are two dimensions to creation. One is the actual creation of the Asara Ma'amoros, Shabahem Nivru Olam, that's his Havus HaBriya, where the Briya comes from, you know, it emerges from Ayin into Yesh. And number two, and this goes beyond the Sheish Yisimei HaMas of creation, Hashem is constantly, without stop, being Mechadesh Maisa Bereishis. Says the Gaon, that's what's going on here in this pasuk. Kivo shavas mikol malachto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only ceased from creation, as we know, the Asar Ma'amoros and all that's created in the universe came into being during the 6 days of Maaseh, Sheish Yimei Maaseh. But the pasuk wants to mechadish something much more far-reaching than on Shabbos, one day of the week. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shoves from the Mechadish B'chol Yom Tov in Maaseh Bereishis. So the Shvisa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos is not just from those Melachos that engender, that generate creation, that take something from Ayin and make it into Yesh, But there's a more general Shvisa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shoves and Shabbos, namely that he Shoves even from the Melechas Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tov and Ma'asav Reishis, from the continuous creative process, which you might say, and I, again, this is my own addition from the Baal Tanya, is preventing the Yesh from reverting back to Ayin. So that whole sustenance or maintenance is called Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tov Ma'asav Reishis. Now, we have to interpret the Gaon, because if you leave the Gaon, you know, and read it just as is, there's a problem over here. You know, to tell me that on Shabbos, the seventh day came, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayichulu, he terminated the process of his Havus Abriya, of creating in the classical sense, that I understand. You know, after the Shakespeare Hamas, there was nothing else that came from Ayin into Yesh. But to go a step further, he says the following: Yom HaShabbos LaHayishum Maimar. There was never a we know there were Asaras Maimars. There was never an 11th Maimar to create new entities in the Bria. But how could we say that it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoves from Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tov and Ma'aseh Bereishis? I mean, we know that Tomid, we know that the power or the process of Chidush Maisa Breishis is an ongoing power. It's an ongoing Chidush. It doesn't stop at all. Not for one moment. Not on Shabbos or on Chol. I mean, if it stopped on Shabbos, we would not have anything. You know, we'd have iron in the world. Nothing would exist in the world. So in order to shed a light on how this Gaon, you know, interpreting Kivosh Vas Mikol Malachto, that Hashem even desisted from the Mechadish B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Breishis, we want to look at a halacha in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. And I think the Pachad Yitzchok is using this Gemara in Shabbos as a kind of a metaphor, almost like a paradigm, to convey the deeper meaning in the Gaon. It says, Hamotzi Ochlin. Now, the shear of Hotzah, for which Yechai, for being Michal Shabbos, Melechus Hotzah, and Shabbos is Kigrogeres. And here, he was Motzi, carried Ochlin, foodstuff, pachus mikshil, less than a grogeres, inside a receptacle, inside a kli. Is afal pi, shakli. Even though he might be chayev for carrying the kli, and forget about the ochlin that are inside the kli, let him be chayev for the kli. And now he's potter not only for the ochlin because it's less than a shir, but also for the kli. Is the answer, it says the Gemara, there's a new halacha, a new principle here called Akli Tafel Liochlin. The Kli, in a sense, loses its status, its identity, because it is functioning in a secondary kind of way. It's Tafel. And the secondary nature of the Ochlin is enough to downgrade, if I can use that word. You know, when you go on a plane, you get an upgrade. You want to sit in business class, but there's a downgrade. Let's say they take you from business class and they put you into the regular class. So the downgrade of the kli, of the act of hotzah vis-a-vis the kli, is enough to protect the Shabbos, so to speak, that there's no Chil Shabbos, there you're parted from the Kli, because the Kli is only functioning to carry the Ochlin. It doesn't have a primary function of its own. So even though the Pu'ula, the action of Hotzo, is done on the Kli, but yet we define the Kli as a Nigrar, you know, it's a Nachshlep, it's carried along, and therefore the carrying of the Kli, insofar as it's a secondary, it's almost like a means to an end, a conduit, it functions as a receptacle, but not in a primary role. That itself is a definition in terms of Melechus Hotzah and Chil Shabbos, that it's no longer considered Melechus Hotzah, even though, again, had he carried this Kli without anything in it, that would have constituted a Chil Shabbos, but since it was functioning as a Tafel, just simply to carry the ochlin. You know, we have a similar halach in kelim as far as tvila. Let's say, for example, I want to give you food, but I have no way of handing it over to you except I put it into a kli. It could be that kli is not a kli suda, and therefore it doesn't require tvila. But anyway, getting back to Shabbos, in Meleches Hotzah, the Pulas Hotzah is considered to be related to the Ochlin and not to the kli. That's all based on the principle of Meleches Machsheves Asur Torah. I'm not really focused on the kli. The kli is secondary. And therefore, the carrying of the kli is not considered a contradictory or undermining Shvisa Shabbos. I can still have Shvisa Shabbos on the one hand and yet carry the kli on the other, because the kli in this case is functioning as a tofel. And using this as a metaphor, we could say the following, that this halacha of tofel and ikar reflects not just on particular violations of Lecha Shabbos, but it really reflects on the entire Mahalach, the entire way of Shvisa Shabbos. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of 6 days of creation, is Vayechulu Kivo Shavas Mikol Malachto, what does it mean Mikol Malachto? And we would say the following, with regard to the Meleches Hishavus, in other words, the mamoras that bring things into existence from non-existence, that's a total, complete shvisa. When we talk about the shvisa from Chidush Maisa Breishis, we have in a certain sense, we have a stira. What do I mean by a stira? Let me try to explain what I mean. We know that with Shabbos, Vaikadish Osa, as we discussed at great length, a new entity emerges, a new existence called Schar Mitzvah, an essence that was not created during the 7 days of Masa because of the very unique nature and of this essence called Schar Mitzvah. Now, with regard to the creation of Schar Mitzvah, all the other types or categories of mitzius, of realities, are tofel. And again, we're using that paradigm of ikar v'tofel. He says, in a theory of relativity, if you will, legabi bria zu, with regard, you know, if our main bria of Shabbos, what came into existence on Shabbos that did not come into existence until Shabbos, was this new entity called Schar Mitzvah. If we can compare all the other categories of Bria, of creation, to that unique category of Bria, everything is considered Tofel. So if you're following the logic here, and the structure, what we're saying is that Chidush Maisa Breishis B'chol Rega is not a stira to Shabbos. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omnam, you know, He does continue the existence of the world, breathing existence into the world, because otherwise, as we said before, without Mechadish B'chol Yom Tov Ma'aseh Breishis, the world will revert back to non-existence. However, that Chidush Ma'aseh Breishis, which is primary with regard to the first 6 days of creation, now takes a back seat. It's downgraded, as we discussed about the Kli, that's the receptacle to transfer the ochlin that are inside the kli from place to place, from rishus to rishus. That action on the kli becomes secondary, becomes downgraded. So too, the action, if you can, you know, put inverted commas around the word action, the action of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of being mechadish b'chol yom tov in ma'aseh breishis on Shabbos, that becomes secondary because of the emergence of the creation of an entity called Schar Mitzvah. And that emergence, that action of Bria, that activity, we'll call it, of Bria, with regard to the essence of the entity of Schar Mitzvah, is so overwhelming. You know, it's like the bright sun that, you know, if you shine a candle to the bright sun, you know, you don't see the candle. You know, the light of the candle is almost null and void. It's lost in the brilliance of the sunshine when it's at its zenith. The same kind of relationship happens here with regard to this brilliant creation on Shabbos of the entity called Schar Mitzvah. The ongoing process with regard to the material world of Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tamid is, it loses its significance. It becomes a tofel. And therefore the Gaon is right when he says that Vayechulu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shvisa was Mikol Malacha, even from the Malacha of Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereishis, because that Malacha is so tofel that it wouldn't rate to undermine the Shvisa, just like the carrying of the Kli doesn't have enough significance to be considered Otsah Sheyeshba Chil Shvisa Shabbos. So too, the activity of Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereishis is so insignificant in comparison to the brilliance and the shining light, the overall overriding drama and of mahus of creating this entity called Schar Mitzvah. Therefore, the Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tamid is tafel. It becomes like the madriga of that kli. It takes on the status of tafel. Pachad Yitzchak uses the word manmicha et komatan. The brilliance of creating Schar Mitzvah reduces the stature of all other types of entities or existence in the world. All those entities, all those existences take a back seat. They become tafel. And therefore, the activity of tafel doesn't undermine Shvisa Shabbos, and therefore the Gaon is right when he says the Shvisa, as emphasized in Pasuk, is Mikol Malacha. It's teaching us that the general Shvisa even extends to the Shvisa of Chidush Ma'aseh Bereishis, because the act of Ayikadosh of Yom HaShvi, which creates a new entity, a new type of existing reality of Schar Mitzvah that belongs to a spiritual world, anything that belongs to this physical world becomes secondary, becomes relatively insignificant, and therefore the Chidush Ma'aseh Bereishis B'chol Rega, even though it certainly continues on Shabbos, it has to, otherwise there would be no universe, but nevertheless, it takes on the status of a tofel, and it doesn't undermine the Shvisa. The Shvisa continues because it's almost like the Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tamid is on a low key. What's the phrase that we use? The sleeper, if you know what I mean. Like, for example, if you don't want your computer to use up all its energy, or your phone to use up all its battery, so that you constantly have to recharge it, what you do is you put it on sleep mode. If I can use that as a mashal here, of course the mashal of Pachad Yitzchak is much more sophisticated, the mashal of the kli that's carrying the ochlin as a tafel, but the Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tamid is on such a sleep mode with regard to Shabbos. It's so active, the active level of energy is so low that the Shabbos Mikol Malachto can relate even and include even the Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereishis. And now perhaps we can swing back to the Parsha of Man. And why is it, as we asked earlier, that according to Rashi's interpretation, the proof, so to speak, of Vayikadish Oso is the fact that the man didn't fall on Shabbos. So we're going back to Shmos, Perek Tezayin, the Parsha of Man. And in the Parsha of Man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduces that whole set of Isurim, you know, that you have to collect twice, a double portion on Friday, and I'll let it go out and collect on Shabbos, with the words, Re'u ki Hashem nosan lochem ha-Shabbos. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu introduces it. And what we're trying to figure out is, why is it that the absence of man on Shabbos is itself a proof, so to speak, Re'u ki Hashem nosan lochem es ha-Shabbos, The man functioned, as we all know, to sustain the people of Israel for 40 years in the desert. There was no other source of sustenance. And if there was some sort of need to show the people that they receiving the gift, the wonderful gift of Shabbos, that generation had to receive that. And that would take place even before Matan Torah. So they're getting the gift of Shabbos before Matan Torah, and Hashem wants to show them the gift that He's giving them. Why did He have to choose to inaugurate or demonstrate that gift of Shabbos dafka with the context of Sipuk Tzarcheim, of their sustenance? And He had to sort of demonstrate the gift of the Shabbos that He's bestowing upon them with the fact that He's bestowing upon them enough sustenance that they could have a double portion on Friday that would cover them even for Shabbos. I mean, there were so many gifts that came down from Shamayim day by day, and each of these pu'ulos of creation had ceased on Shabbos. Why did Hashem have to cease the man on Shabbos of all things and say Re'u ki Hashem nasan lachem es haShabbos? What is, to again reformulate the question, why is it that within the context of giving the Shabbos and terminating the pulos from Shamayim on Shabbos, why did Hashem choose the man? And that was the exclusive choice of all the candidates to demonstrate the gift of Shabbos. And I think the answer lies in the pasuk, in the same parsha. It says, Hineni mamtir lachem lechem min hashamayim. The status of the essence of man, which was brought down min hashamayim as lechem min hashamayim, indicates the unique nature of man. Man fits into a middle category, somewhere between Shamayim and Aretz. With regard to Aretz, on one polar extreme, we have the klola that Adam HaRishon received, Bezeah Sapecha Tocha Lechem, that Lechem requires Zeah Sapayim. Here the Torah is saying, I'm going to give you Lechem in a Shamayim. The Lechem in a Shamayim is not subject to that curse of Bezeah Sapecha Tochal Lechem. Lechem is Mufka from the Zeas Ponim, the Kotz V'Darda Tatzmiach, that came into the existence on the sixth day when Adam HaRishon sinned. And basically what Hashem is pointing to is that there is such a thing. Marim lepoel beetzim ve'avudasa dugma shel schira she'ena mishtalesel b'sof. Imagine a payment for a worker, for an employer. For an employee. My mistake. That only comes into existence at the end of the work. Now, in this case, the employee is in the middle of his work. He hasn't completed his day. He hasn't completed his job, and we already give him a glimpse of what kind of payment he's going to receive at the end of the day when the work is done. That's what's going on here with regard to the man. The man is midway between avoda and schar. On the one hand, it belongs to the world of avoda, because man is here. You know, the people of Israel are here trudging through the wilderness for 40 years. They're doing their avoda and serving Hashem, and Hashem brings them man and sustenance. In that sense, it's lechem, which Hashem is granting them, and it belongs to the world of avoda, this period of time of avoda. On the other hand, Hashem chooses lechem min hashamayim. This is not just lechem. If we're just lechem, it would belong to avod, but it's lechem min hashamayim. Lechem min hashamayim really touches on schar. As we've discussed at great length, schar belongs to an entirely different world. It has an entirely different essence. And it belongs to a tkufa of schar, which is really lebasov, which is in the future. We begin to perhaps get a grasp on why the man had to cease on Shabbos. It had to be mafsik his pa'ula, because again, according to the sheet of the Gra that we studied, Shvisa Shabbos, Hashem has to desist from Shabbos in an all-inclusive way, including even the Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tomid Maisa Breishis, which becomes, as we said, on low ebb or sleep mode. So if we find that Pa'ulah, the activity of Hashem of Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tomid Maisa Breishis continues to exist, and therefore the world is still maintained, it's still sustained, that can only be because of a unique existence or entity that emerged on Shabbos, which we spoke about at great length, the Schar Mitzvah, which somehow lowers the status of, and that was the theory of relativity, remember the sun and the candle, lowers the status of Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tomid Maisa Breishis to the level of a Tofel. Now, if we'll find an entity which is midway, as we said, between a reality or an existence that was created on Shabbos, meaning Schar Mitzvah, and a reality that belongs to the Sheishis Yimei HaMaaseh, meaning a Schar for Avodah, that existence could not be engendered, could not be generated on Shabbos. It just can't exist on Shabbos. Why? Because insofar as it belongs to the reality of Shabbos, then efshal lomar ba shabbos manmicha es komasa umoridul amadregas tafel. Meaning, in order for anything to continue to exist, the bria of Shabbos, which we spoke about as the bria of schar, has to push down that existence to the lower level, to that secondary level of a tafel. But in the case of man, insofar as man itself belongs, to some extent, midway, it belongs to the reality of Shabbos, then Shabbos itself cannot lower its existence to the Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tomid Maasa Breishis. So in order for the Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tomid Maasa Breishis to operate, you've got to have an entity that belongs totally to the reality, to the essence of Yimei Avodah, to the Sheishis Yimei Maaseh. And then the Shvis of Shabbos can lower that Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tomid in order to engender existence to those realities that belong to the Sheishis Yimei Avodah, the Sheishis Yimei Maaseh. But insofar as man belongs to Lechem Min HaShamayim, to a world of the future, to the world of Shabbos, to the world of the divine, of Schar Mitzvah, to that extent, you know, we're giving the Poel a taste of his Schar Mitzvah that belongs to a different world, a future world of Yom Shekula Shabbos, then the Shabbos itself could not possibly engender existence into this man, into this entity that belongs to the world of Schar. He writes, "Hareze kederech shahoisa shvisa shabbos mafsekes kol kiyumo shel maase breishis." On the one hand, the creation of this new entity called man cannot come under the kiyum of Maisa Breishis, because the kiyum of Maisa Breishis can only continue to exist as a tofel, because Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tomid becomes now a tofel. It begins to become clear, therefore, that the lechem that is a result of Zeas HaPecha, that continued to grow on Shabbos, that lechem was produced in the world of material being, the lechem of Zeas HaPech, of Sheishis Yimei HaMaaseh, that would continue to exist under the Tofel Madrega of Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tomid that continues all the material world in existence. But the man that doesn't have that bezeis apecha tochal lechem element, because it's lechem in the shamayim, all you do in the case of man, the only physical effort you need to do, you don't have to produce the man, but you have to just collect the man, that would have to terminate on Shabbos. As an example to illustrate this, he quotes out of the ten mamoros, he quotes Yehi Or or Yehi Rakia, and he says those mamoros continue to be active to create the maoros even on Shabbos. And why is that so? Because they have a way of being activated as a tofel. So that mechadish b'chol yom tamid of keeping the mamoros alive, so to speak, on a low flame, that's b'derech ha-tofel. However, when it comes to hidini mamtir lachem lechem in a shamayim, that mimer could not possibly continue its activity to be activated even on Shabbos. Why? Because that lechem really belongs, it's a prototype, if you will, of the world of schar. And even though, again, it's a physical entity that sustains the people of Israel, because through their lakita and achila they continue to exist, so it's lechem, but nevertheless, it's min hashamayim. And he says, ein lo lesug mitzir shel schar derech lifol b'toras tofel. Meaning that the hineni mantir lechem, lechem in shamayim, which is a mimer that creates schar mitzvah we're talking about, that belongs to a different world, such a mimer cannot continue to be active and engender and create schar as a tofel. As a tofel, it cannot be, because Shabbos means that it's the creation of schar in a primary kind of pe'ula, because that's what Shabbos is. Is Shabbos creates schar, but to create schar as a tofel, that it can't do, and it has to be created as a it has to work as a tofel, because it's lechem. It's not only min hashamayim, but it's also lechem. So he writes, ein hashvisa rak mi hisavus hametzius. The Vilna Gaon's Yesod, as we saw before, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shoveis, not only from the creation of the world, but also from the Kiyum of the world, of keeping the world going. But on Shabbos, that creation of the world, I shouldn't say creation of the world, I should say that Kiyum of the world, the ongoing Mechadish Baruch Hu is active as a Tofel. But in the case of Horadas Haman, it's impossible to be Mechadish B'chol Yom Tov, to maintain the kiyum of man as a tofel, because man cannot be brought down as a tofel. Man as schar has to be brought down as an ikar. That's what Shabbos is all about, and that's what schar is all about. There's no such thing as schar as a tofel. There's material worlds, material existence as a tofel. But man is not just material. Man is, as we said before, that middle ground between something that belongs to the Asar Mamaros, to the material world, and something that belongs to Schar insofar as Min HaShamayim. So there's an absolute contradiction, that's what I mentioned before, a stira, between the concept of Shvisa Shabbos and the concept of being Mekayim, the Maimar of Hinini Mamtir Lechem Lechem in Hashamayim. Afal Pisha Eini Soteres Es Or Hayom Veschoshech Halayla. The Shvisa Shabbos doesn't undermine the creation of light and during the day and the creation of darkness at night, because that creative process can work on low flame, as we said before, on sleep mode. But with regard to lechem min hashamayim, the min hashamayim element, hineni mamtir lechem lechem min hashamayim, that element, that dimension of man, could never become a tofel. You cannot take the mimer of creating a tofel, I'm sorry, of creating schar, of creating a spiritual divine entity, that new entity that we called schar, through a process of tofel. Shabbos, in its primary, energized creation, as a, we'll call it a kuvasei, to create schar, that requires ikar and not tofel. Creating schar requires ikar and not tofel, and there's sort of like an inner contradiction, because the essence of man, that man cannot be created as a tofel. It's almost as if, again, this is just my footnote here to the Pachad Yitzchak, I think what he might be indicating here is that to the extent that man is lechem min hashamayim, meaning it's lechem, but it can't be lechem through the normal operation of tafel, of mechadish b'chayim tov of Shabbos, because it's also at the same time min hashamayim. And the mishamayim element contradicts the material element of lechem, the physical entity of man to sustain the Jewish people biologically. That element is contradicted, is undermined by the fact that at the same time it is min hashamayim. And min hashamayim means it's got to be actively created, because that's what Shabbos does. Shabbos creates the active schar mitzvah, and man has in its very essence the schar mitzvah element to it. That element could not be engendered and generated into existence on Shabbos if you're working on a tefil mode. And it has to work on a tefil mode with regard to him mamtil lechem lechem nishmayim because of the lechem element. So you're really involved in a steer over here. And therefore it's not... Rashi doesn't mean to say that man was chosen in order to demonstrate the matana of Shabbos. On the contrary, in order to supply the Dor HaMidbar with mizonos, the entity of man was chosen because its very essence is such that it cannot be continued into existence on Shabbos. And therefore we go back to the Maral, who says that when Rashi says that Vayikadesh means that there was no Yerid of Man Min HaShamayim, and the Maral says that in order to defend Rashi against the Ramban's argument that Ein HaKosim Medaber Asidos, the Torah doesn't say Vayikadesh also on the seventh day of creation foretelling what's going to happen down the line, there won't be Man, says the Maral, no. It's not a question of HaKosim Medaber Asidos. What it means is that the cessation of man, the termination of man on Shabbos was a raya, was a proof. Not that we need to prove. We ask the question, what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to prove Vayikadesh also by pointing his finger to the fact that there won't be any man on Shabbos. He needs rayas and ishurim. He needs external documents that establish the veracity of Vayikadesh also. No. What we're saying is that the cessation of man on Shabbos itself teaches us what Vayikadesh HaShabbos is all about. Meaning, and this is the language here of the Pachad Yitzchak, Ki ba'od shepu'ulas shamayim v'aretz miskayemes b'Shabbos, the ongoing creative process of Mechadesh B'Chayom Tomid regarding the heavens and the earth continue on Shabbos, Hinei pu'ulas haradus haman posekasi b'Shabbos, but the very fact that creating man and bringing it down for Shemayim terminates on Shabbos, that itself is something that teaches us, or that reveals to us, this new entity that was created by Kiddush HaShabbos. That new entity, which we call Schar Mitzvah, and we integrated it with the Neshama Yisera, as we discussed at great length, that entity is half of what man is all about. In other words, it's one of the two elements that make up the essence of man. And that element itself cannot be on low mode. It cannot be dropped down to the downgraded position of a tofel. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to complete his shvisa, as we said, kivo shvas mikol malachto, it would have to be such that the man would terminate its existence. It cannot be generated into existence as everything else in the material universe, insofar as it's lechem, because generating everything into existence in order for to be mekayim the shvisa of vayichal Hashem mikomol kivon shvas mikomol akto would require a kium a mechadish prayim tuba on a tafel level, and that could not apply in the case of lechem and shamayim, because the shamayim element that defines the essence of man is an entity that belongs to the existence of Shabbos itself, to the mitzius of schar, which requires Shabbos to be active in its creation problem. It cannot be passive. In other words, what does Shabbos create in an active sense? As we discussed before, the mitzius of Shabbos as a creation is schar mitzvah. That's what Shabbos is all about. The vayikadish also means to engender into existence this new entity, this new reality, this new essence of schar mitzvah. That's what Shabbos is all about. To the extent to which man as lechem and shemayim is schar mitzvah, you would have to have a vayikadish also to actively create it, but that's impossible because you have an element here of lechem, which can only be engendered into existence on a tougher level, otherwise it undermines shvisa. And therefore the man has to cease to exist. The man becomes a raya for Shabbos, for Vayikadosh Oso, to the extent in which it really demonstrates and teaches us that Shabbos is a new creative entity, a kiddush of Shabbos, of something called Schar Mitzvah. I would say, Rabotai, we're halfway, or even more than halfway, through Maimer Gimel, but we've run out of time, so B'li Neder, I hope we'll get back to the second half of this Maimer, and hopefully we'll be able to come back to our original question about why, according to the Sifri, the Torah describes Shabbos as Yom Simchaschem, when really in truth the essence of Simcha belongs exclusively to Yontif, whereas the essence of Shabbos is Oneg, and hopefully we get a tefisa, we get a grasp on what Oneg Shabbos is all about based on the Yesodos, the principles that we've already laid down here. Thank you so much.